Da skal vi lese dagens bibeltekst. Den står i Matteus kapittel 11. Da de gikk, begynte Jesus å tale til folket om Johannes. Hva dro dere ut i jødemarken for å se? Et siv som svaier i vinden? Nei. Hva gikk dere ut for å se? En mann kledd i fine klær? De som går i fine klær bor i kongenes slott. Hva gikk dere da ut for å se? En profet? Ja, jeg sier dere, mer enn en profet. Det er om han det står skrevet. Se, jeg sender min budbærer foran deg. Han skal rydde veien for deg. Sannelig, jeg sier dere, blant dem som er født av kvinner, har det ikke stått frem noen større enn døperen Johannes. Men den minste i himmelriket er større enn han. Fra døperen Johannes dager og like til nå trenger himmelriket seg fram, og de som trenger på, river det til seg. For alle profetene og loven har profetert fram til Johannes. Og om dere vil ta imot det, han er den Elia som skulle komme. Slik lyder Herrens ord.
Good morning, everyone. It's so much of an encouraging time whenever we come to Norway. Right from 31st of last month, I and my wife, we have been kind of traveling almost every third day or second day. And it's been a very, very tiring time, an eventful time. The moment we reached the Oslo airport, we felt we are landing in a place where, we were remembering the verse, He leads us beside the still waters. So much quiet and calm and no noise and no pollution, no mosquitoes. We don't need to struggle with, beating off the mosquitoes around. It was such a pleasant experience. And thank you very much for this time. The amount of love and care we receive from you all, it's so encouraging. Thank you very much for the prayers. It means a lot. This is our recent family picture. Priya and myself with three daughters, Justina, Johanna, Jensina. We spent a good time before two of them were moving to the boarding school. And the next picture, we just dropped our children, the elder two daughters, in a boarding school, and they are so happy to be in the boarding school. We just spoke to them before coming here. And they are so happy, and they are praying for us. They are praying for you all. And the journey we are traveling is really a pleasant journey in a way, because we are all together journeying in this transformational process. And I'm really thanking God for such an amount of fellowship we could enjoy with all of you. Thank you for receiving us so warmly. Thanks Elizabeth, and thanks Brother Advar and his wife, and thank you the leaders of the church. You have been so much hospitable to us. Thank you very much. When I received the text for this day, I was reflecting something on Jesus and John the Baptist. This passage, in fact, is a little bit of mystified passage. Long time back, I used to reflect on some of the verses in this passage. I didn't understand it for a long time. And about a few years back, one of my friends helped me to understand one particular passage in this whole segment. If we look at closely, there are many key learnings we can receive from Jesus and John the Baptist, the conversation between these two. And I would give a title for this passage as Kingdom Culture, the way how the kingdom of God functions. And the first learning I take from this passage is the way how Jesus is recognizing the calling of John the Baptist, or the purpose for which John was sent. The amount of acceptance Jesus is creating for John the Baptist. Both were contemporaries. They lived in the same time. And John the Baptist was probably a little earlier than Jesus. And Jesus is helping the multitudes to understand the calling of John the Baptist. Because we all know, before John the Baptist, there was a dark age for many hundreds of years. There was no word from God. There was no prophecy. There was no... It was something like a kind of a hidden time. And then John the Baptist comes into picture. And here we see there was a doubt, and then the disciples of John the Baptist approaching Jesus, asking, "Who are you?" And Jesus is surrounded by multitudes, and he is showing John the Baptist. He is trying to, you know, kind of create an atmosphere of recognition for John the Baptist. Wonderful picture of how Jesus is teaching his disciples to recognize others. Jesus is doing something great. A lot of miracles, and multitudes are following Jesus. And that is the moment Jesus is telling John the Baptist, he is a great prophet sent by God. Such a picture of recognizing others and the giftings and the calling, and creating an atmosphere of encouraging him. And the second thought, second learning I took from this is creating space for fulfilling the calling. John the Baptist was called for something. And Jesus now, he is creating a space for John the Baptist to fulfill his calling. Jesus going to John the Baptist and asking him to baptize him. Such a picture of humility, not only humility, but allowing him to fulfill his calling. I thought of sharing something from our own experiences, what we are doing, the work we are doing for mission. This is what we are trying to create. We are helping people to come up and identify their calling and creating space for their fulfillment in their life. For example, the younger generation leaders, even day before yesterday, we had a quick conversation with somebody in Delhi. I said, church in India, in Bangladesh, in the region we are working, there is no intentional efforts to recognize the calling of the younger ones. Church has missed to help the younger ones to understand. You are called for something. And church is here to help you identify your calling. And church is here to create space for fulfilling your calling. There is a great mismatch. And what we are trying to do is to create these opportunities. Just a month back, we had a wonderful gathering of about 20 young, very energetic university students in the Bangladesh Evangelical Lutheran Church, Northern Evangelical Lutheran Church. All are in their heights of energy. They wanted to do something, but they don't know where they have to use their energy. There is a lot of mystified future for them. The future looks very, very, you know, very shady. And we spent about 5 days with them. The first day, we felt, I and one of my colleagues, Enos, we were praying. We felt we need to invite God's Spirit to move. And we let them experience Holy Spirit. He said, for anything, we are living in the era of the Holy Spirit. After Jesus ascended into the Father, into the heaven, till he is coming back in his second coming, we are living in the era of the Holy Spirit. We need to give importance for the Holy Spirit. Then we invited them, we taught them a little bit about the Holy Spirit. We said, why don't we raise up? Let us allow God's Spirit to move. Just, we didn't do anything. I was just standing on the stage, and my colleague was standing just beside me. We were praying together, just quietly. Just in 10-15 minutes, one of the boys, he started pulling his hair and screaming like anything. And then it was such a new experience for many of us. The church leader was there, and one more pastor was there. And then another girl, she started crying aloud, crying, crying, crying. And then the third one, and then the fourth one. All of them, they felt something different in their body, in them. And it took about more than 1 hour. And at the end of the session, the amount of testimonies we are hearing from them, a personal time, personal encounter with the Spirit of God, it was amazing. The 5 days, after the fifth day, we were hearing from them. They say, now we understand why we are living on the earth. Such an amazing time. The Holy Spirit, when he comes and fills, he helps us to go through the depth of the Word of God. And that changes, that transforms the person. That is the experience we are going through. And this is the time God is doing something marvelous. The third learning I want to bring all of our attention is the aggressive stand we need to take. That is the verse I said I did not understand for a long time. Jesus is talking about the kingdom of heaven being valiantly pushed, and the one who is aggressive will take it by force. And I didn't understand this for a long time. I said, what is this? He is talking about being violent and taking it by force. Is Jesus telling something very contradictory to being meek and humble and being quiet? This is all about being aggressive in taking possession of the enemy's territory. We cannot be sitting idle. We cannot be keeping quiet and, you know, thinking, okay, someone else will do. We need to have an aggressive stand, because the enemy is roaring as a lion, and he wants to devour people. He wants to deceive people. Sometime back when I was traveling in Bhutan, I was shared by one of a Hindu friend, Buddhist friend. Now he is a very good believer. He's good in doing ministry. He was sharing about a vision he got. He was traveling. He was standing beside a road. And there was a big pit, a big hole. And he saw people are flocking, going very fast, getting into the pit. They are all going, and the pit seems to be very, very, very big, very deep. And they are all going very fast and getting into the pit. And there was one very big man standing in the rim of the pit and trying to save people from the pit, pulling them out from the pit, saving them. And this man looked old man and very bright and, you know, with a lot of, love. And this Buddhist boy did not understand that. And after a year or so, he was shifted to Sikkim, which is bordering to Bhutan. And there he saw a picture, and that was a calendar in which he saw the picture of Jesus. And he said, "This is the man I saw in the vision 1 year back." And he was trying to save people. And then he came across some Christian friends who had that calendar. And he was asking them what it is. Who is this man? And they helped him to understand who is Jesus. And he said, "Jesus is the one who is wanting to save people." And he shared this vision with the Christian friends. And they helped him understand what Jesus is wanting to do. And this man is a nice believer nowadays. He is traveling around in Bhutan and in the bordering areas. And he is doing wonderful ministry for God. This vision helped me to understand how aggressive we have to be. People are just flocking into the hill like anything, like with enormous speed. We were just traveling through Istanbul. He had a long stopover in Istanbul airport. The amount of the momentum or the speed in which people are traveling into the kingdom of darkness is so high. And Jesus is standing to pull people out from this kingdom of darkness. It's something like he wants to snatch people from the fire and bring to his kingdom. And we are his representatives. And we carry that burden Jesus is having. And here in this passage, Jesus is telling, kingdom of heaven is for those who are violent, who are aggressive, to bring people from the bondages of this darkness. And we are given that privilege of bringing people from this darkness to the kingdom of light. This is what we are trying to do. When we help people understand there are two kingdoms, and the kingdom of God is all about light and living in love, grace and compassion and mercy and a lot of joy. It's something like it brings a paradigm shift in the lives of people. A 100% change in the way how we look at things. That's what I think Jesus is talking about here when he talks about being valiant to bring God's kingdom on this earth. The prayer he asked us to pray: "Let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." He wants the kingdom to invade into the earth in all the areas of our life. And we are in the threshold of God's kingdom coming on this earth in every sphere of the life. We are given this privilege. I and my wife, we travel across in this region, India, Bangladesh, Bhutan, when we look at the amount of thirst and hunger people have for God, it's amazing. It's not like 20 years back. Now there is an increased hunger, increased thirst, and we need to go forth with a lot of aggressiveness. And we need to build more people to go forth. That's what is happening. When we talk about building people like Christ, we are building people to go to every corner of this world and bring this kingdom of life, kingdom of light into the life of people. And in this journey, we are not alone. We are together. We are journeying together. You may be just praying one word for the work that is happening in Bangladesh, but that means a lot. Because in this journey, we are not traveling alone, we are together. And God's prayer, if we look at it, it's always in plural, first person plural. We, He is teaching us to pray, we, let your kingdom come on earth. And when His kingdom comes, it includes all of us, and we are journeying together. It's such a privilege. You may be living in Norway, many thousands of miles across, and we may be living in Bangladesh and India and some other parts, but we are not journeying alone. We are journeying together. And I feel we are so much privileged to be together in this journey. Thank you so much for this time. May the Lord help us to bring forth His kingdom with lot of aggressiveness on this earth. Thank you very much. Have a good time.